This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and welcome to New Beginnings. We turn people around. We give them ideas on how to think differently and to really delve into things that they may have already known and then turn those into actionable items. And with us and to help us in that discussion is Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He helps to turn candidates into contenders. He's at 763-438-1621. He's also online at rippleconnects.com. Joe McKenzie, how did Ripple Connects start in the first place?
Ripple Connect started with some of the methods that I was voluntarily teaching to some of the groups back around 2005 and 6. And many people sought me out for some of those methods that we talk about today. And that's self-marketing, that's building out your professional network, just talking about your transferable skills. All those things roll up into Ripple Connect's curriculum that we teach our clients. And our clients, when they're working with us, they develop a contender mindset, and they contend for the jobs that they want and really want to strive to get.
Very interesting. And that leads us to our discussion this morning. I know that we're right in the middle of the pandemic, and we're hearing the news. Even on this program, we talk about the pandemic and the vaccines and so forth. And the things that happen as a result of this pandemic encompassing the world. And a part of that has to do with our careers. I know there are a lot of people who have been impacted by their careers or changing careers. But I'm wondering, let's take a look at that, Joe. We've got the pandemic right here in River City, so to speak. It's around the world. Is it a real critical choice? Or are you seeing that people are making some really life-changing decisions about even staying in their current employment place?
I've heard stories firsthand about how people are looking to make a change. Let's think about since March of 2020 and how people are working remotely as a part of teams. That may not be what they intended to set out to do, or just the ability to deliver those services or goods have changed so greatly that maybe this is not in line with what you want. So yeah, there's a certain amount of people out there saying, this is not what I signed on for. I know the pandemic has changed things, but maybe there's an opportunity for me to do something different in light of all the structural and organizational changes that have taken place in the last year and a half. So yes, I hear it. I know of people that are looking to do something different because the pandemic changed things in their role.
Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie. So those are people who are changing, they're staying with their job. What about those individuals who are considering or maybe they are being forced to leave a job? What does that look like in the world in which we find ourselves today?
Well, it can be, obviously it can be very scary to be leaving a job even in normal non-pandemic years, but think about what's changed on just trying to discern what is a good opportunity for yourself, because it's more difficult to figure out what's this new role look like. So leaving one job to try to determine if this is a better job has more difficult in my estimation because of the pandemic. Do you agree with that, Freddie, that maybe it's more difficult to leave a job and then try to find another job and determine if it's a good fit? Let's just put it that way. Do you think it's more difficult during a pandemic?
Well, I think leaving employment, moving up in employment, deciding to stay because of whatever the issues are around you is always a daunting decision to make, in my opinion. And I think leaving really ratchets up that whole idea about what to do next. But I think that the pandemic in many aspects maybe enhances that decision choice on what to do and how to approach it. But I'm wondering too, as you think about that, what about those who have been looking for a new career? They're looking to advance their career. Should they continue to look for employment at this point, or should they put that on hold, Joe McKenzie?
I think you keep all options on the table. So if you have a job that you may feel that you're coming, you're running up against some limitations, always keep your options open. And that means just keeping your ear to the ground and having conversations with your trusted bench of advocates, just so you have other options that are percolating out there. But I wouldn't say not look for a job, especially if you start to sense that either your career growth has leveled off or you see some external forces in your industry that are impacting your organization. And that goes for a lot of different industries, from healthcare to hospitality to building trades to the nonprofit sector. We're all having external forces that are bearing down on these industries that are completely out of our control. Just staying current with that and being open to keeping your eyes and ears and your options open, I think is a very prudent approach at any time. But I think more importantly now, because we don't know the additional chapters of what a pandemic does to our workforce and how we work and where we're at and all that. So definitely keep all your options out there through those simple steps.
So that answers my next question. So it's okay to try to advance even in the employment place in which we find ourselves today. It's okay to do that.
Absolutely. If there's opportunity out there that's you're meant to do, don't limit yourself. It could be internally or externally, because what we've seen with a lot of those industries that have been turned upside down, you may have the perfect skill set, transferable skills, emotional intelligence, problem-solving ability that industry needs. Why limit yourself to say, well, this is not the right time, but maybe this is the best time for me to step in there? Mm-hmm. I know I entered the nonprofit sector here in Minnesota 3 months prior to the pandemic. I had never run a nonprofit before, but because of my background, my experience, and my skill set, maybe I was the best suited to lead that organization through the pandemic. I like to think I was, but it certainly was a growth opportunity for me. And I do think that applies for a lot of people out there. If you see something that you can discern, if it's a good career move for you and you have the skill set and that industry needs you, do not limit yourself and keep an open mind and keep options, all options on the table, pandemic or no pandemic.
It seems as if leading a nonprofit during a pandemic, it really helped to flesh out your personal development as well. And do you think you're more marketable now, having gone through this and still going through it?
I believe so, because I've had to have all my leadership, all my resources at the forefront of leading this organization. I know that Minnesota's nonprofit sector is vibrant, but I did see that 200 nonprofits in Minnesota did close during the pandemic. And so, yes, personally, I felt that I grew. Was there a lot of uncertainty? Absolutely. I think every nonprofit and many industries have that uncertainty, but a lot of that uncertainty causes us to innovate, find better ways to do things with less, or just be more nimble so we're not caught flat-footed in regards to funding and still carrying out our mission.
Well, everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie about making career decisions during a pandemic, and we've discussed that making a career decision at any time in your career can be daunting, but it also can be exciting. Would you think that this is a good time to test the market, or should we even consider testing the market at this point? You did mention earlier that we should keep all of our options open. What about just looking to see what's out there?
Yes, continue to test the market and do so in an efficient way, and that could be through your trusted bench of advocates, on having informal conversations about next steps, next chapters for yourself. That is how I test the market. That's how I encourage my clients to test the market, because that's a contender mindset, because now you're not limiting yourself. You're always on the lookout for something there. But if your bench of advocates have no idea what you want to do, then they really can't advocate for you or uncover something. So yes, test the market with your bench of advocates. Refine your LinkedIn profile. Make sure that you have your best foot forward. This may be that time to complement or add some of the nice attributes or accomplishments that you've had in the last couple of years. This may be that time to test that market.
Well, you see why Joe McKenzie is with us, our co-host on the program. And Joe, you do some fine work at Ripple Connects. I know you help a lot of people.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to New Beginnings. Our program continues unfolding, and we'll be right back with more.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Breakthrough, knowing that you can accomplish great things. That's our point of focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
What's the secret to any achievement? Is it wanting something enough or deserving something more than another person? It's neither one of those. You experience a true breakthrough to achievement when you're able to move past simple wanting and striving to a powerful belief that you can reach your goals. You break through the barriers of negative thinking, thinking that you can't do something or don't deserve something. You can accomplish great things. Do you want to end some negative habit or begin a positive one? Then you can. You can because you believe that you've got the power to move forward, to break through to great achievement. It's this belief that empowers you to do great things. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Joining me now on the program is the Assistant Commissioner for the COVID-19 Vaccine, the Vaccine Equity Director, Dr. Nathan Chomolo. He is with us this morning, and so glad to have you on, Doctor.
So glad to be here again, Freddie. Thanks for having me.
Wow, everybody's talking about the new, well, not new, but the just vicious Delta variant of COVID. And we see that it now impacts more than 83% of all cases, not only in this area, but across the country. I was listening to an interview with Dr. Michael Osterholm, and he says for another 4 weeks or so, it will be really dominant in the state of Minnesota and across the country before it starts to subside. What can we do to help to keep safe during this time, sir?
Yeah, so the Delta variant has certainly upended many of our plans for entering fall and thinking that things would look, you know, a lot different than they did this time last year. And that's for a number of reasons. You know, we know Delta variant is just more infectious. And so there's this concept that we have called R-naught, which is kind of how we track how fast diseases spread. So if you get an infection, the R-naught of that infection gives us an idea of how many other people you're going to spread that infection to. And so if we look at like COVID classic, or I call it the OC, the original COVID, you know, that R-naught number, that was 2 to 3, meaning you likely spread COVID if you got it to 2 or 3 other people. Estimates for Delta are like 5 to 7. And so that starts approaching the order of other, you know, infections that we are aware of that are really infectious, like chickenpox, which is chickenpox are not as like 7 or 8. And so, you know, this just increases the need for community immunity, because we need to get even more people protected to have less transmission. And then the other kind of tricky part about Delta is the kind of viral load. And so how much virus is being spread when folks, you know, cough, sneeze, breathe, that type of thing. And so I'm going to borrow an analogy from a colleague of mine, Dr. Kim Manning, who's a doctor down in Atlanta at Grady. She talks about the viral load as like a cup of coffee. And, you know, if you drink one cup of coffee, you'll probably feel like a little more alert and you'll get that little buzz or focus. But if you drink like 8 cups of coffee, you're really going to feel it. Your heart's going to be racing. You're going to be feeling too jittery. You know, I think everyone's been there when they've gone one too many cups of coffee, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of similar to the viral load, right? If we have a little bit of viral load, we might feel a little sick. And then our body kind of recovers quickly. We got lots of viral load, you know, we start to really feel that faster. And so that's why we see in those folks who aren't vaccinated, they are getting sicker. And then even folks that are vaccinated, you know, they are getting more symptoms, because the amount of virus that's passed on when they do get sick, you know, is just overwhelming their defenses initially. But then since they're vaccinated, they catch up real quick.
Well, everybody, we're talking with Dr. Nathan Chomolo. He is the assistant commissioner, and he's also the COVID-19 vaccine equity director. So with this really contagious Delta variant virus, what about the Lambda? Is it as worrisome as we first thought when it first came to light?
So I'm still, you know, reading and learning about Lambda, and so I haven't seen a whole lot of information that gives us an idea of how that might look, you know, when it hits here. And so I think, you know, what that kind of points to is just, you know, the way we get out of this pandemic is getting ourselves, you know, vaccinated and getting the rest of the world vaccinated as well. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's, you know, even discussions coming now down the road about boosters and getting additional shots to everyone. But if we don't, you know, get our vaccine out to the rest of the world, we're still going to keep facing these variants. And so, you know, we got to first do our role to get everyone in our communities vaccinated and then get vaccines out to the rest of the world.
How much is it helping now that the FDA is on the path of approving these vaccines that have been out there, the three that have been out there for some time now?
Yeah. And so the understanding is that Pfizer, which had applied for full approval back in May, will likely get that granted for its vaccine in the next couple weeks here. I think that helps for a number of reasons. It just helps for some folks who were waiting for the full verification and approval of the FDA before getting their shot. It helps when you talk about things like vaccine mandates and vaccine verification requirements to have folks be able to, you know, employers, universities, be able to say, you know, to help make these a safe space, we're going to ask that everyone make some type of commitment to safety, whether that's getting vaccinated or getting tested frequently. And so I think it certainly helps along those lines. And then it is one step closer, I think, to hopefully finding and getting data that also supports vaccination for our younger kids, because we know that you know, they are among the unvaccinated and are at risk of getting this Delta variant, and that certainly is concerning.
It's interesting, as we get closer and closer to the start of school, I know parents are really concerned about that very point that you raise. So what can parents do, what can families do to protect those who are 12 and under, who are not yet ready to get the vaccine?
Yeah, and so this is a conversation I've been having with, you know, parents ever since vaccines really started becoming widely available in general for adults. And that is, when babies first arrive, we always talk to families about, you know, one of the best ways to protect them from all these viruses and bacteria that to babies are novel, are new, is making sure everyone around them has had their vaccinations. And so similarly, when we're talking about our 12-year-olds who are still unvaccinated, and so the COVID-19 virus is new to them, the best way we can protect them is making sure everyone who's eligible, so everyone who's 12 and above, who's around them, has gotten their shots. And then continue to do things we've been doing throughout the pandemic and recommending throughout the pandemic. And so that's, you know, screening folks that are coming around your unvaccinated kids, asking them about their vaccination status, if they recently had any cold or cough symptoms over the last 2 weeks, having folks stay away if they're experiencing any symptoms, if they're unvaccinated, having them mask around your children, making sure your children are wearing higher quality masks, so those K95 or masks with those kind of replaceable filters, because we know those can make a difference. And then looking to our schools, if there's opportunities to test through the schools or find testing through state sites, you know, on the regular, testing our kids when they get back into school will help. And it might not necessarily help prevent your specific kid from getting COVID-19 by, you know, you testing and knowing. But what it does is, if your child or someone else's child gets COVID-19, they can hold them out, and that helps decrease the risk of it spreading around the school. And so I'm thinking about how we could use testing. And then, you know, also just thinking in general, if they have, they had their checkup and if the rest of their health is good. And so we've seen drop-offs in well child checks for kids. We've seen drop-offs in, you know, particularly amongst our Black 2 and 5-year-olds who have had lower rates of our measles shots and our tetanus and whooping cough shots. And then for our teenagers, lower rates of tetanus and meningitis boosters. So making sure we get our kids in for their regular checkups, making their health, sure their health is overall good, and that we don't see, you know, outbreaks of a different disease because our immunizations have dropped off.
All right. Dr. Well said, we're out of time, but thank you so much for being with us. We just heard from Dr. Nathan Chomolo. He is the Assistant Commissioner, COVID-19 and Vaccine Equity Director, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
As you're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
And there's a person who spends a lot of quality time with children. He is the superintendent of schools for Minneapolis Public Schools, Ed Graff, joining us. Glad to have you back with us.
Freddie, it's good to be back. Good to be thinking about the start of the new school year. Love those words of wisdom, too. Love those kids up. Yep. Sons and daughters, that's what we're all here to focus on.
That's right. And there's a lot of talk about children going back to school and the mask mandates that some states are adopting. I know Minneapolis Public Schools has adopted a mask mandate. Can you tell us more about that and what can parents and students plus your staff expect as the new school year starts this fall?
Yeah, well, first again, we're just very excited to welcome our students and families back into the classroom. You know, school starts for us, our first graders through 12th grade on September 8th, and then our pre-K and kindergarten students start on September 10th. You know, certainly we're monitoring things very closely. We meet with our regional support team, which consists of the Minneapolis Health Department, representatives from the Department of Education. So we're keeping an eye on the COVID data. We do have face coverings as a requirement in all Minneapolis public school buildings. That started on Monday, effective Monday. And the decision was really based on the strong recommendations from the Minnesota Department of Health and making sure that, you know, we consider all the critical ways to protect children who are not vaccinated, you know, along with others who are not vaccinated due to medical reasons. So we're requiring a face covering, not outside at this time. But we're also looking at getting more information out over the next couple of weeks. We'll put together a comprehensive, fall guidance for staff and families, and we'll put that on our website. But again, want to encourage people, you know, we're following the virus and urging everyone who's medically able to go out and get their vaccines. And I will tell you, I was over at Wilson's Image on Saturday getting a fresh cut, getting all ready for school, and they had their mobile health van out there offering vaccines for people, and just want to say thank you to the community for really supporting the communication, the education, and the opportunities to get everyone safe in our community.
Indeed, Wilson's is doing that every Friday through the rest of this month, just ahead of the start of school. But what do you say to those parents who are saying, well, Ed, I understand that we need to get vaccinated. The vaccine is not available for those students who are under the age of 11. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult for a student to sit in a classroom 6 to 7 hours totally masked up. Are there remedies for that? Yeah. Or what? How would you answer that, sir?
Yeah, I definitely know that challenge. You know, like I said, we've been implementing that mask mandate here for the last week or so and had our board meeting last night. And so we're recognizing that that's not easy. We also know that we have a balance of wanting to provide full day in-person learning for our kids. And so really taking a close look at the options that are available if we aren't following those mitigation factors. We do have an online learning kindergarten through 12th grade school that is available. This is something we expanded this past year. So it's a new option for families who are, you know, not ready to come back to school in person or who actually prefer distance learning. What they do have to do is they have to enroll. They do have to make sure that they enroll online if they choose that school. We don't have a deadline or a cutoff for registration. They can enroll today. And there are some benefits of, online learning. We're providing school meals for families who are eligible that live within their MPS transportation boundaries. They're eligible to play sports at their designated attendance zone. We do have special education services available. Mental health services will be provided. And then all general and special education federal settings 1 and 2 requests are accepted. And other students in federal setting 3 would go through our regular special education department. So I guess to be clear, you know, we recognize this is not where we wanted to be. We were hopeful that we'd be into a different phase of the pandemic, but we also want to make sure that we're doing our best to be cautious and follow the guidance that we have from the Minnesota Department of Education, Department of Health. So other mitigation factors, you know, are being considered as well. And like I said, we'll have a comprehensive guidance put out within the next 10 days, and certainly encourage people to look to our website for those details.
So there are a lot of options there from the learnings that you've had from last year, the guidance that you're getting from the state of Minnesota. So it's not all or nothing. So with the hybrid model that you have, it seems as if you can take care of several different camps of thought with regard to returning students to school this fall.
Yeah, we're really trying to look at all considerations. We know, it is right now not a possibility for us to have people working, in person and remotely. So families will have to make that decision about, do they want to do an online school? That's not something, we're currently set up to flip back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But we did take the feedback from some families. Like I said, opened up our K-12 online school, and we have space available right now. So really want to encourage families, if they're not sure and they're just feeling like they need an alternative option, that we do provide that in Minneapolis Public Schools. So it's tough decisions. And I think, again, we learned a lot, like you said. We'll have a lot more opportunity for our students to use technology. So those options will be available. Last night, our board did approve our e-learning plan, which, when we get into that inclement weather, whether it's in the fall or, the winter, or those hot days in the spring, we do have the option to move to electronic learning for up to 5 days. So that use of technology is going to be very important in those situations, as well as we know that what we learned last year through the pandemic, that kids are accessing technology for all different types of learning opportunities, and our educators are using it as well to maximize the benefits for all of our kids.
Well, as we say goodbye this morning, what would be one thought that you'd like to leave with, especially the students who are concerned? Of course, we hope they're following the lead of their parents, but can you speak directly to our students who are just all over the place, especially those who are under 12 years old who may or may not have the vaccine? You've got some high school students mm-hmm. going back this year. What would be your message to them this morning, Ed?
Yeah, I think I would first start to tell them that we're here for you, to support you. Not having been a student going through a pandemic, I can only imagine how challenging it is for them to anticipate, what's to come next. But, we have an amazingly dedicated group of teachers, of educators, support staff, administrators, and we just need to make sure we're connecting with our kids, making sure that we're hearing what their needs are. We're still looking forward to seeing them in person, and we want to do it in the safest way possible. So encouraging them to, wash their hands, stay home if they're sick, make sure that they're covering up using the required face coverings, and distancing when they can, when possible. But we also know that that personal connection is so important, and so we're going to do our best to support them and connect with them as much as possible.
All right. Ed Graff, Superintendent of Schools, Minneapolis Public Schools, thank you for being with us, and we look forward to a robust fall and spring school year. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Freddie.
And this is New Beginnings.
Here's your host, Freddie Bell,
as he welcomes career expert Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects.
Here's Joe McKenzie of Ripple Connects. How can you bring to light the hidden job market?
You bring the hidden job market by talking with the meaningful connections in your life and thinking critically about your network. The hidden job market is real. Up to 75% of positions filled today are unadvertised. And the best way to leverage the opportunities in that hidden job market is to talk to the people in your network. You paint a picture of what your next job looks like so they can be your eyes and ears to bring the hidden job market to you.
How can we reach you, Joe McKenzie?
You can contact me directly at 763-438-1621. 763-438-1621. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings Podcast today.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. And as we continue on New Beginnings, it's our pleasure now to go to the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. It's a beautiful facility if you've never seen it in Minneapolis. And Kitty Harris is with us this morning. And welcome back to the show, Kitty.
Good morning, Freddie. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
My goodness, there's a lot going on, even though the mask mandates for some businesses are back. And I understand the Housing Authority has reinstated a portion of that. But events still continue. You're still serving the community. And you've got a blood drive going on and a few other things as well.
Yes, absolutely. So last Monday, MPHA did go back under a mask mandate for all of our high-rises as well as our central offices, but we are continuing to service the community. This Wednesday, August the 25th, we will have our another blood drive in partnership with the Red Cross of America. We're so excited to always continue this partnership opportunity with them because, as you know, the need for donors is constant, and so MPHA is proud to be able to do that for people. And then on Saturday, August the 28th, we will be hosting another community breast cancer screening in partnership with the Lao Assistance Center of America, who is one of our on-site partners.
Wow. Everybody, Kitty Harris with us this weekend on New Beginnings. Talk about the need for blood. You know, you don't hear about it a lot. I know there is another blood drive happening later on with sickle cell, trying to make sure that there are donors there. But what is the emphasis for this particular blood drive?
Again, just like you said, with regards to sickle cell anemia, just having those donors available, not only for that, but also for blood transfusions. Although COVID-19 has impacted the world, we are still having situations where donors are needed for critical surgeries that people encounter on a daily basis. And so the Red Cross reached out to MPHA and asked us if we would host a special drive in order to help them get some more blood in stock.
What's required to be a part of two events, the blood drive and also the breast cancer screening?
So for the blood drive, you would just need to go to www.redcross.org and input in the sponsor code MPHA. So that, again, www.redcrossblood.org. Mm-hmm. And then you can sign up. Appointments are required just because we have a low number of staff due to COVID. So we want to make sure that we have enough people available for those appointments that we have. And then for our breast cancer event, they can give us a call at 612-344-2221, and we will get them registered for a slot with that mammogram mobile.
Wow. Big events happening in the Twin Cities. What would you say as a final word? I know that you see a lot of our seniors come through the community, a lot of people who are just walking through. They're curious about what happens at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Is there a word that you would say as a perhaps even as a, in a role of an influencer about vaccines and trying to help the whole nation, not just Minneapolis, but the whole nation get back to a relative form of health?
Yes, well, for us, our messaging at Cora McCorvey is that we want to do our part to ensure that everyone is safe and healthy. MPHA's mission is, of course, to provide safe and affordable public housing. And so now with the vaccine, we've done everything that we can to partner with community organizations to continue to provide the vaccine because we want people to get vaccinated. We want them to be outside. We know that health and wellness is such an important component. And the vaccine is one of those things that helps us continue to maintain our health and wellness.
All right. Well said. That's Kitty Harris, property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And this is New Beginnings.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities. Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
We all have a spirit within us. In Unity, we call it the Christ within. But it is our essential truth that desires to emerge from us, to come from the inner, silent, secret center of our being and come forth in our outer actions, in our relationships with one another. It is the secret power of life, of God's love. There are many ways that we could describe it, but the important thing is, just like our physical breathing, we practice it. We take our times for self, for inner reflection, for our own spiritual practice. And then there is a time that we breathe out. We become a community. We become God's people. We become a nation and a world that can work together. That these emergent truths that we know at the very center of our being can work through our choices, our actions, all that we do in the world. And as we practice that, as we maintain that balance, the truth within and the truth we express outwardly, we know well-being, inner peace, because we are showing the world what we know to be true within the very center of our being. We're expressing that inner Christ truth, that essence or spark of God within us in all that we do in the outer world. We're in alignment with our truth. Well, it is good to be home. In this week, Psalm 133 came to my mind. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And I thought, I want to breathe with that phrase. I want to let it simmer within me. Well, I had this journey of 2,500 miles. Fortunately, I went with a friend in her new car instead of my Honda with its nearly 300,000 miles on it. I thought it might be a wee bit safer or more prudent, and we made that trip. And this was the 147th summer season of Chautauqua. It's a place that both David McCullough and Ken Burns have often visited and praise the uniqueness. McCullough said, there is no place on earth like Chautauqua. And why is that? Why did Lowell Fillmore, as administrator of Unity World Headquarters at Unity Village, in 1926 publish in Unity Magazine, what we are striving to do is to build another Chautauqua Center here in Missouri. Well, what was the idea? What was the goal? What were they trying to accomplish? Well, Chautauqua, the basic idea is for people to come together, people with different ideas, different opinions, different ways of living in the world, different religious practices, to come together in a shared experience, then discuss that experience, share the ideas that that shared experience brought up for them, and then to return to their respective homes, inspired, renewed, and wanting to bring these new cutting-edge ideas into their own communities. That's essentially what it's about. The four pillars of Chautauqua are education, religion, the arts, and recreation. And I like to point out, like my good minister friend there, the power of the word. Think of recreation. Recreation. It's a process of renewal. Not just riding a bike or jumping about in a swimming pool. It's doing whatever you need to do to feel renewed, refreshed, recreated. This state, according to Chautauqua, of coming together in a shared experience and exploring together leading ideas for our world, they believe can, in my words, bring about a peace with past experiences, a peace with tradition. Secondly, it can bring about cooperation in the present through clear intentions and working cooperatively. And third, it can inspire creativity in the future by establishing sustainable goals. Those things we say in Unity that are eternal or lasting. Nowadays we say sustainable. Something that has the power within itself to maintain and keep it active. I won't share this morning all that Chautauqua is or has worked for in 150 years. I just want to focus on this power of collective intention. Again, let me quote that opening of the 133rd Psalm. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Let's be clear about what we hear in those ancient words. We know that as individuals, we don't hold the same thoughts, nor do we live identical lives, nor do we make those same daily choices as others do. We have the power to choose for ourselves. However, we can choose to hold an intention for our common good and choose to participate in a shared experience. I've always marveled and tried to detect exactly who here in past years wrote some of the affirmations we so consistently hold in our services. And I particularly like that every week we affirm that statement that we boldly serve humanity by, listen, building our lives and Unity South, which is a community, together. So we affirm every week that we're doing our work individually, and we are participating together in a communal work. How important that balance is. And if you leave today with no memory of anything Reverend Stacy said. I don't even want to remember it. No, if you leave with nothing else, let it be this idea of how life-giving, how sustaining it is for you and your world to maintain this balance.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.